11, and we come to the first five verses this morning, and I'm going to read them from the Living Bible. What is faith? It is the confident assurance that something we want is going to happen. It is the certainty that what we hope for is waiting for us even though we cannot see it. Men of God in days of old were famous for their faith. By faith, by believing God, we know that the world and the stars, in fact all things, were made at God's command, and that they were all made from things that can't be seen. It was by faith that Abel obeyed and brought an offering that pleased God more than Cain's offering did. God accepted Abel and proved it by accepting his gift. And though Abel is long dead, we can still learn lessons from him about trusting God, about faith. Enoch trusted God too, and that is why God took him away to heaven without dying. Suddenly he was gone, because God took him. Before this happened, God had said how pleased he was with Enoch. Right, verse 1 says, in our own church Bibles, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. That's do not see with our earthly eyes. Now faith is very important. But do you and I have enough faith? Sometimes you and I may be attacked by doubt. Perhaps, after all, the ordinary life of your house and your street and the office is all there is. After all, you can't see God with your earthly eyes. The ex-atheist C.S. Lewis said, "It's when we're lazy and careless about thinking that we become unbelievers." It's when we're lazy and careless about our thinking, we think that the ordinary world around us is the whole show and there is nothing else. If we ourselves let ourselves merely drift with the tide of materialism, we'll end up as unbelievers. But even then, from time to time, we'll wake up and say, "Yes, there is something beyond all this." And the more we allow ourselves to be open to the truth in our heart and mind, the stronger will be our faith. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Certain of what we don't see. How can that be? Well, let's see what faith is not, first of all. Faith is not believing in spite of the evidence. I know there's no evidence for belief in God, but I'll believe all the same. That would be just superstition, wouldn't it? It's not saying, "Well, I hope it's true." It's probably not, but it just might be, so I'll stick with it. That would be wishful thinking, wouldn't it? It wouldn't be faith. Or merely saying, "Yes, of course it's true, but it won't affect my daily life." Now, faith, as this chapter shows us when you read it, means putting our heart and mind to trust God in spite of the hardships in our own lives, in spite of the problems that we will experience and see all around us in the world. Faith is being certain of what we do not see. How's that possible? How can you be certain of what you don't see? Well, there are two ways of knowing things. There's knowing things with our senses, particularly our eyes. And then there's knowing things by faith. First of all, there's knowing things with our senses. I know you're here today because I can see you with my eyes. I've heard you sing the hymns with my ears. If I shake your hands at the door, I'll know you're here by the sense of touch. If you've used perfume or aftershave lotion, I'll know you're here by the sense of smell. And if you come to the hall afterwards, You'll know what you're drinking, whether it's tea or coffee, by your sense of taste. But how do we know that God is here? By faith. Faith is knowing that which is not seen with our earthly eyes, or heard, or tasted, or smelt, or touched. And how can that be? Well, verse 3 says this: by faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen is made out of what is not visible. The universe, our human lives, the animals, the plants, the rocks, the world, the moon, the sun, the stars. As I've often said, they haven't always existed. Someone must have made the universe, and that someone cannot be less than us. We know what love is, so he must have a lot of love, because he can't be less than us. He can't be a thing or an it, because we are not things or its, we're he's and she's. So he must be a person too. He can't be less than we are. Now, nothing that we see with our eyes or hear with our ears or touch or smell or taste lasts forever, does it? Everything is decaying. Buildings break down, cars break down, machines, watches, whatever you think, do not last forever. Even the rocks and the mountains, you may think that they're there forever, but they're not. They're gradually wearing out. The sun and the stars, you may think they shine forever, but they don't. There was one time when they didn't shine, and there's one time when they're going to all burn out, and there'll be no more shining. Everything that we see with our eyes is temporary. So something that we don't see with our eyes must have made these other things that we do see with our eyes. And that something which we don't see with our eyes is not temporary, but eternal. So we can know, it's obvious, that the eternal, unseen God exists. He is real. We know him not by the sight of our earthly eyes, but by faith. But faith is more than saying, oh, well, I suppose there must be a God. That's not faith. There is a need for us to respond. Another ex-atheist, someone who used to say there is no God, but now a believer, is Lord Hailsham, you know, who used to be the Lord Chancellor, the second most senior person in British politics. And this is what he says. He says, once you've come to the conclusion that there does exist a person who is God at the heart of the universe, some sort of prayer life is inevitable and automatic. It's unthinkable that having reached that point of believing that God exists, that one should not attempt to speak to him. There are moments of simple adoration and thankfulness for all the beauty and glory of the world and the goodness of other people. There are moments of horror at the suffering of men, of agony at one's own suffering, of misery and self-accusation at one's past misdeeds or present inadequacy. Ask for things? Why, of course. Obviously, if one's mind is troubled by this or that, when one submits oneself to the presence of God, the desires of one's heart come bubbling forth. But perhaps faith begins more with questions such as, O God, what is your interest in me? Do you have a word for me? What do you want me to do with my life? What has been wrong with my life that needs to be put right? And as we stand before the wonders of the universe and ask these questions, we are filled with a sense of awe and love and a sense of holiness and a sense of our own unworthiness that needs forgiveness. And then we turn to the Bible, and we find in the Bible a wonderful story about God and this world, from the beginning of the world to the end of the world, about how God and the world relates. And in that story we read that God bears the sin and the sorrow of the world in his own heart and mind. And that's true from the beginning of the Bible to the end of the Bible. And we see it focused and all brought together in the cross of Jesus. And in that cross of Jesus, we find ourselves brought face to face with God, our Creator. The God who is unseen with our earthly eyes has made himself known through Jesus Christ. Now, way back in the beginning of that story of God and the world, we read about Cain and Abel. Now, they knew they should respond to God, that they should do something. And the writer to the Hebrews here in this passage reminds us of what happened. Verse 4 of Hebrews 11, "By faith Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith he still speaks even though he is dead." What was the original incident all those thousands of years before this was written? What did Cain and Abel do? Well, we read in Genesis 4, verse 2, "Abel kept flocks and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. But Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry and his face was downcast." What was the difference between Cain's offering and Abel's offering? Well, the writer to the Hebrews tells us, Abel made his offering by faith. In other words, he did it in love and trust to God. But Cain made his offering just as a duty. If I have to do it, I'll do it. Sort of attitude. A certain sense of meanness and anger. Yes, he made the offering, but it was out of a spirit of meanness. Not out of faith, and which is love and trust. And so God had to warn Cain, if you do what is right, won't you be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at the door. It desires to have you, but you must master it. That teaches us we don't have to follow our feelings. Yes, you might feel like hurting and killing your brother Abel because you're jealous of him, but you don't have to do what you feel like. And then comes the first act of violence. "Now Cain said to his brother Abel, 'Let's go out to the field.' And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him." It was a deliberate deceit. Let's go to the field together. And that led to a crime against a good man, Abel. And it was a crime against his own brother. Now, society today, without faith, that is, without loving trust to God, will turn to, first of all, dishonesty or deceit, then violence against good people, and thirdly, violence in the family. The next verse, "The Lord said to Cain, 'Where is your brother Abel?' 'I don't know,' he replied. 'Am I my brother's keeper?'" There we see two things, an outright lie, because he did know, and secondly, a statement of indifference. My brother's welfare has nothing to do with me. I'm in charge of me, and Abel's in charge of himself. It's not my business. So a society today without faith and love and trust will see a breakup of love and honor, which should bind us together as one. Then the next verse, in verse 5 in Hebrews 11, we read of another person, Enoch, trusted God. And that is why God took him away to heaven without dying. Suddenly he was gone because God took him. Before this happened, God had said how pleased he was with Enoch. Enoch walked with God and he was no more because God took him away. Enoch walked with God. That means has fellowship with God. And that is what faith is. It means to speak to the Lord and take time with him, to trust him. Do you and I feel weak in faith? You and I can't conjure it up. There's nothing magical about it. There's not a secret formula. It's not a gift for some special people who are specially religious. But what you and I can do is to say this, Lord, you who created all that I see with my earthly eyes, be with me. Forgive me my sins that pierced Christ, and be Lord of my life. Then faith will come. You don't have to have faith to be in the presence of God, but the presence of God with you will give you faith, and it will purify your heart. Now all of us can ask us to be with him. We can all consciously say, Lord, I receive you as Lord and Savior. In doing so, you will find true faith in the unseen God born in you. Unseen now, but one day, when the curtain between this world and heaven is drawn back, we will realize the truth of those words that Jesus spoke. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Let us pray. Almighty God, you are hidden from our earthly eyes, and yet in our hearts we feel the warmth of your love and grace for a lost world. We pray that through Jesus you will cleanse our hearts from all that is wrong, so that on that day when we leave this world, we might be pure in heart and see you in that glory which is everlasting, from everlasting to everlasting, and give us by your grace our share in that which you have purposed for all who share your love and honor you. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep guard over your hearts and thoughts in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you all this day and forevermore.